Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of the Omid. A brief point that was made in our last shiur was that one who is Kofer B'Avodah Zarah is called a Yehudi. And that's what we saw in our last marking. We have a bow tie shape. And as we continue in the Gemara, before we resume the drosha, the explanation of various psukim from the Megillah that you can see halfway down the page where the double underline appears, before we get back to that, we have a section of Gemara that you see in brackets. And this section, demonstrates this point that a person who is a kofir b'avodah zarah, someone who denies avodah zarah, is called a Yehudi. Let us now continue in the Gemara, as we mentioned, the bracketed section, 8 lines from the top, or the last of the narrow lines. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ki hava posach b'divrei hayomim, omar hochi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, when he would lecture, when he would teach or discuss the matter of the Book of Chronicles, Divrei Hayomim, Omar Hochi, he would say as follows. Now, what we're going to see, and it's something that you see in other Masichtas as well, Sukkim quoted from Divrei Hayomim often have a long string of names, oftentimes in a form as if a father is bearing a son, and then he has a son in turn, several generations. And in fact, the psukim are not to be taken literally, but rather they are all names describing one person. Very common phenomenon in Sefer Divrei Hayomim. So he has this opening remark, Kol Dvorecha Echod Heim V'onu Yoidim L'Dorshan. All of your words are one. Then, as we said, you can have many names, and they all refer to one person. And even though, the Sefer Divrei Hayomim itself doesn't reveal that, we know how to darshan it. We, even though it's presented in a coded fashion, we know how to unravel that code. And now we have an example of that. The pasuk quoted is as follows: V'ishto ha-Yehudiya. This pasuk is in the context of Kalev. Kalev ben Yefuneh, who was at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the leaders of the different tribes. He was the leader of Shevet Yehuda. And it says, in his wife, V'ishto ha-Yehudiya yolda es Yered avi Gedor v'es Chever avi Shocho v'es Yekusiel avi Zenoach. V'eile b'nei bityo basparo asher lokach mered. The Gemara asks, Amai kori lo Yehudiya? Now, the Pasuk is describing the Basya, the daughter of Paro. And yet it opens up and says that Kolev's wife was Yehudiya. But it says in the same Pasuk that Basya bas Paro. And we know that Kalev married the daughter of Paro. So why is she referred to by the name Yehudiya? Al shum shekofra b'avodah zarah. Note the markings. You see the bow tie and the slashed underlining. Notice before, at the end of our previous shiur, you see that 6th line from the top. You see the same marking. Dichtiv. Now, the pasuk reveals that she abandoned idolatry. She was kofra b'avodah zarah. She denied and abandoned idolatry. The pasuk describes in Sefer Shmos, the Bas Paro went to immerse herself in the river. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shiorda Lirchoitz Migilule Beisovia. She went to wash herself from the idolatry of her father's house. In simple terms, her immersion was what we call Tevila Legerus, immersing in water for conversion. Now, we continue with the posuk that we mentioned before. You see we have arrows to the side of the Gemara as well. The Gemara asks, it says in the posuk that she was Yolda es Mered. Yered, we will see later, is Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara asks, Yolda, what, she bore him? She gave birth to him? V'ha ribuye revise. She raised him. She didn't Yolda. Yolda means to give birth to. She didn't do that. She revuye, she raised him. So why does the pasuk describe her, the Bas Paro, as bearing Moshe? Yered, as we said, is Moshe, when in fact she raised him. So the Gemara answers, lo marloch, this choice of the word Yolda, when in fact what she did was raised him, teaches us, she call him a gadol yosem v'yosemu b'soich beisai, anyone who raises an orphan, whether it's a boy or a girl, in his house, malav akosuv, the pasuk considers him ki'ilu yoldoi. It's as if you gave birth to him. Yered ze Moshe. The pasuk used the name Yered, but it's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'loma nikra shmoi Yered. Why is he called that? Shiyorad lohem liyisrael mon biyomov. Because mon fell in his time. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Maseches Tainis that it was in the merit of Moshe that the mon fell to Klal Yisrael. Gedor, Shegodar, the pasuk referred to him as Gedor also. Why? And by the way, marking wise, you can see we've underlined the names and the words that are from that pasuk. So the next word analyzed is Gedor. Why is he called? Why is Moshe called Gedor? Shegodar Pirtzoseihem Shel Yisrael. He repaired the breaches amongst Israel. In other words, he solved problems that befell the Am Yisrael. Chever, Shechiber es Yisrael Avien Shebashamayim. He bonded, he joined the Jewish people to the Almighty. Socho, Shenase Lohem Yisrael Kesuka. He was for Israel like a sukkah. What's a sukkah? A sukkah is a booth that serves to protect one. As the Pasuk says, and as is quoted in the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, it's the sukkah tiel lohem letzel. The sukkah shall be for them as a source of shade from the sun and the other elements. So, too, Moshe Rabbeinu protected Klal Yisrael from all kinds of problems. Yekusiel, Shekivu Yisrael Lokel Biyomov. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jews hoped for salvation from the Almighty. So the word, the name Yekusiel, has as the root of it the Kuf Vav root. Kivu is to hope for. Zanoach, Shizniach Avinoseim Shel Yisrael. He caused the sins of Israel to be abandoned. In other words, through Moshe Rabbeinu's efforts, the Klal Yisrael was forgiven for their sins. In the Pasuk, the word Avi appeared three times. So we're referring now, Avi, 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 Av b'Torah. He was the patron of Torah, the mainstay of the Torah. Av b'Chochma, a mainstay of wisdom. Av b'Nevius, and a mainstay of, in the realm of prophecy, was the greatest of all prophets. V'Eva b'nei Bityo asher lo kach mered. V'chi Mered Shmoi V'halo Kolev Shmo. Why is he called Mered when in fact we know we're talking about Kolev? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yovo Kolev Shemorad. So the word Mered is Morad, has to do with rebelling. Let Kolev, who rebelled Ba'atzas Raglim against the evil counsel of the spies, V'yisaw Es Basio Bas Paro, and let him marry Basio, the daughter of Paro, Shemorda Begilule Base Oviha, that she rebelled, she abandoned idolatry that was characterized her father's house. So we have what we call measure for measure, that in exchange for, or in the merit of our Kolev's rebelling against the evil counsel of the spies who spoke against the land of Israel and the plan for the Jewish people to enter the land of Israel. So she ended up marrying him, she, as also an example of someone who rebelled against that which is wrong, the practice of idolatry. And now, as you can see, we have a double underline marking. We've been using this marking for the last couple of Dapim of Gemara, where Psukim of Megillas Esther are explained in following the order of the Megillah itself. So we're here at Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav of the Megillah, Asher Heglo Mirushalayim. The Pasuk is describing Mordechai as coming to Poras, coming to Persia, as being someone who was exiled from Jerusalem. Now the word Heglo is an unusual word in terms of its grammatical form. It doesn't say Asher hoya min ha-gola asher heglasa, but it says asher hegla im ha-gola. So that expression to Omar Rava, that clues Rava into the following shegola me'atzmoi. He experienced, we'll say, self-imposed exile. And if you study the period at the time of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, there was an attempt on the part of Bavel to maintain a community of Jews in the land of Israel. Even though there was the major portion of the population was exiled, there were those that were given the option of remaining in Israel. He was one of those that seemed to have been given such an option, but he chose nevertheless to leave Israel anyway, on his own. Vahi oimein es hadasa. The pasuk describes Mordechai as being omein. Omein is an expression meaning he raised, he cared for his cousin. Kori lo hadasa, v'kori lo Esther. You find that the pasuk says that she has two names. So she's called Hadasa and she's called Esther. And before we go on in the Gemara, we have on the side a topic heading, the Nosei, Esther Ma Hoysa Shmo. What was her actual name? Esther Oi Hadasa. And if one is the actual name, the other name would be descriptive. And we'll see in the course of this Gemara, Tiurim Shela, different descriptions of Esther. Diamonds will appear in the Gemara, and under our Mivneh heading, the diamond is featured, and they represent Deos Almahoiso Shmo Amiti. These are Deos, these are opinions as to what her actual, we'll say, birth given name was. And the slash underlining is here to explain if we're going to say that one is her actual name, so why, what is the significance of the other name? The Gemara continues. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Oimer, Esther Shmo. Her birth given name was Esther, the Loma Nikra Shmo Hadasa, so why does the Megillah refer to her that name? Al Shem Hatzadikim Shinikru Hadasim. The righteous are referred to by the term Hadasim. Hadasim essentially is a plant. We know it as the myrtle bush, a type of rather short tree or large bush. The Pasuk refers to tzaddikim, the righteous, as hadasim, maybe there's a connection between that and the fact that they are a fragrant plant, and it's a, we'll see as we go on in the Gemara a few more references to this. So V'chenu Omer, the Pasuk that points this out, it says V'hu Oime Bein Hahadasim, and in the context of that Pasuk from Zechariah Perikala Pasuk Ches, it's a reference to the divine presence standing amongst the righteous. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadassah Shma, her birth given name was really Hadassah. V'loma Nikre Shma Esther Al Shem Shehoisa Masteres Devoreha, where Esther, if you look at the root of the word Samach Tof Reish Seser, so with hiding, she hid her matters. Shinemar Ein Esther Magedes Es Amo V'chulei. The Pasuk reveals to us in the attempt of Achashverosh to determine what her background was, she did not reveal it. So Esther has to do with secretiveness, hiddenness. Rabbi Nechemya Oimer Hadassah Shma. Rabbi Nechemya follows on the heels of Rabbi Yehuda that her birth given name was Hadassah. V'loma Nikreis Esther. Why was she called by that term? Why does the Megillah refer to her as Esther? V'shehoyu umois oilam kurin oisam al shum istaher. Nations of the world, people that saw her, referred to her as the moon. In other words, the moon is something that is considered beautiful, considered pleasant. So they referred to her using the word Esther, which is the same word, or almost the same word, as the moon. Ben Azai Omer. Esther, now he describes her. Lo Aruka v'lo Ktsara, she wasn't overly tall, not too short. Hoysa, Elo Beinonis Kadasa. She was average, like the Hadassah. The Hadassah, as we said, was a type of plant. We know it in the context of the Arbas Minim of Lulav as the myrtle bush. So it was a plant that's not too tall, not too short, but average height. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korchomer, Esther Yerak Rukis Hoysa. Esther was actually green, like the Hadassah, like the Hadass plant. So, if she was green, which is a complexion that one would not associate with healthfulness, it's a type of complexion in that certainly is not attractive for a person. So, how could she be described as someone that was appreciated by others? The chut shel chesed moshu chaleah. Hence, even nations of the world could appreciate her, and certainly as well as Achashverosh. Chut shel chesed literally is a thread of kindness, a type of grace. She had grace. This concept of grace, gracefulness, or an appearance of charm and grace is not the equivalent of called objective beauty, but it's something else. It's something more abstract, but it's also capable of attracting others. The Pasuk says in Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Ki ein lo av v'ein, described her as not having a mother nor a father. And the Pasuk says, Uvamois oviha v'imo. Lomali, why does the Pasuk have to point out that her mother and father died once you tell me that she doesn't have a mother or father? There's a seeming repetition. So the Gemara will tell us in a moment that she, when we say she didn't have a mother or father, she didn't have them for even a moment. Omar Rav Acha, Ibrisa, when she was conceived, mace of your father died. So that from the moment that a man could potentially be called a father, from the point that his wife conceives, so he died. Yaldasa, upon her birth, mesoima, her mother, Esther's mother, died. So Esther herself never experienced either parent. Uva mesovia vima lokha. Lekacha Mordechai lo labas. Tana, Mishum Rabbi Meir. In the name of Rabbi Meir, they teach Al tikri labas, ela labayis. The pasuk says that when her mother and father died, so Mordechai took her as a bas. Now, translated, that would mean as a daughter. But don't read it as that. Read it as a bias, meaning as a house, but really it means as a wife. V'cheinu Omer, regarding Uriah and David and Bathsheba, Uriah was a man who had been married to Bathsheba, a woman that eventually David HaMelech took as a wife. And the prophet Nosson describes to David his actions in sending Uriah off to battle and then taking Bathsheba, his wife, using the following pasuk. And it says, V'larosh ein kol, the poor man has nothing, ki'im kivsa achas ktana, and except for a small sheep. And that's an analogy or a parable to Bathsheba. The man had nothing other than his wife, asher kona v'yechayeho v'tigdal imo, and he raised her, v'imbonov yachdov mipito tochal u'mikosu tishte u'v'cheko tishkov v'tihi lo kebas. The pasuk describes her husband Uriah as raising her and caring for her, and we ask mishum de becheko tishkav. The pasuk described that she lay in his midst. Because of that, havis lay kebas, that makes her like his daughter, elo kebayis, rather that she lay together with him. As the pasuk says, the becheko tishkav, that indicates that she was unto him as a bias, as a wife. Again, bias literally is a house, but like the Gemara in Gittin says, Rabbi Pinchas says, I never called my wife my wife, rather I called her my house. She's the mainstay of the house. So hachinami, so too over here, lebias, when the pasuk says regarding Mordechai and his taking her, he took her as a wife, not a daughter. Pasuk Tes says, V'es sheva hane'orois v'chulei, when Esther was being groomed for as a queen, so it says there were seven handmaids. Omar Rava Shoisa Moina Bahen Yemei Shabbos. She was in seclusion, so in order to know what day of the week, she associated each one of the girls. There were seven girls, seven handmaids. Each one represented a separate day of the week. So she understood that when any particular girl would come in, it's that new day. Vayishaneha v'es naroiseha. The word vayishaneha indicates some type of change. Omar Rav Shechila Michael Yehudi. Now again, she was in a form of seclusion from the rest, from being at home. She was being cared for by these handmaids, and they fed her kosher food. That's Vayishaneha, different than what all the other girls who were candidates were eating. Ushmul Amar Shechila Kadle de Chaziri. Now the note on the side says that she was eating from the top of lettuce. There are other girsos regarding this. Rashi, interestingly, uses a word that, if you look at it, might remind you of the English word bacons. And but he has a different girsa. He says kosli de chaziri, which she was eating, but she had no choice. It was against her will. That's all she was given. So even though she was a pious, a righteous, a tzaddikus, but Rashi explains she was under duress, and that's why she ate this unkosher stuff. But that is also an outgrowth of the fact that Rashi has a different girsa in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, zar oinim are seeds, maybe in the general realm of health food, grains, zar oinim are seeds, that's what she ate. V'chein hu oimer it says regarding Doniel, it says Vayiha Meltzer Noisei as Pas Bagom the Noisin Lahem Zaroinim. These are in Sefer Doniel, there were some Jews that were being serving the king in a let's say ministerial capacity, and they didn't want to eat unkosher food, so they ate as the pasuk says Zaronim. And Rashi says that they looked better. They looked more healthy than everyone else. Shishu chadoshim b'shemen hamor. My shemen hamor says that the women were exposed for 6 months in this kind of oil. Shemen is oil. Shemen hamor. What is that? So we have two approaches. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar satkis. That's what shemen hamor is. And if you know what satkis is, so then you'll appreciate what it is. And Rav Huna Omar shemen zayis shelohe vishlish. It's olive oil from olives that are under a third developed. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, an pekinun. Now this Tanaic source is in the context of oils that are not fit for meal offerings in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah mentions that you don't use anpekinun. So Rabbi Yehuda explains what anpekinun is that's unfit for menachas. He says anpekinun is shem and zayis shelo hevi shlish. It's oil from olives that did not develop even a third. The lama sochanosa. Why would people smear themselves with that? Shemashir es aseirah ma'adin es abasar. It works as a depilatory, removing hair, and it also adds complexion to one's skin. Pasuk Yudalid says, Bo'erev hi ba'al v'boker hi shava. That means in the evening she went to Achashverosh, and in the morning she would return to where she was staying. In other words, she was with Achashverosh at night. Amar of Yochanan, Migenuso shel Oisa Rasha, from the negative description of that man, namely that he would have intimacy with many women and then send them away. Nevertheless, Lomadnu Shvachoi, we also learned something positive. Shalohoya Meshamesh Mitosu Bayom. He didn't conduct intimacy during the daytime, during daylight. That, and you find this point mentioned in a few places in the Shas, that that's considered undesirable to conduct intimacy in daylight. So he didn't do that. He had a certain measure of modesty about him, even though he was deeply immersed in matters of women and intimacy. Nevertheless, this he is praised for. Vatihi Esther Noisei Schein. Omar Rebbe Lozer. Melamed she l'kol echad v'echad nidvisa loy kumasai. Rebbe Lozer says that the pasuk that says that she was she found favor in the eyes of all, that was a function of all nations. Every nation that saw her, she appeared in their eyes as if she is one of them. You can imagine there's the Persian kingdom that the pasuk describes as having control over 127 different countries. The disparate external appearance of different nations is quite varied, and yet she appeared in the eyes of each nation as one of their own. Vatilokach Esther el Hamelech Achashverosh el Beis Malchusa b'chodesh ha'asiri u'chodesh teves. And she was taken to the king in the 10th month, which is known as Teves. Yarach is a month. Shenene guf min haguf. Teves is in the middle of the winter season, the cold season, and as a result of the cold, one benefits from body contact. Two people that are lying together will increase each one's body heat. So Rashi says, Divine intervention caused it so that Esther was taken to the king specifically at a time that her presence would be appreciated all the more. Vayav ha-melech es Esther mikol ha-noshem v'tisochein v'chesed lefonov mikol ha-bsulois. Pasuk says that the king loved Esther more than all the other women. Omar Rav, bikesh litoim tam besula toam tam beula toam. The pasuk says mikol hanoshim, from all he loved Esther more than all the women and more than all the other virgins. So from this, Rav learns that Esther provided him with sensual pleasure similar to that of both kinds of women, women that were virgin and women that were not. Vayas HaMelech Mishte Godol Ovad Mishtaya V'lo Gayale. He made a great feast and that did not have the desired effect that he wanted through the feast that he made in her honor, that maybe she would soften up and reveal where she comes from. Didn't work though. Rashi adds that the feast in her honor is something that he didn't do for any of the other women. And yet, it didn't work. Doli karga. Doli is to raise something, or to lift up. In this case, karga is a tax, but here you don't want to say he raised the taxes, rather the opposite. He lifted off the taxes from the population and said, I'm removing the taxes, I'm lightening your tax burden in honor of Esther, the lo galyo lay, and she did not reveal her background. Shodar pardishni the lo galyo lay. He sent gifts to the ministers, and he did so in her name, and that also didn't serve to soften her up and cause her to reveal her background. Uvihikovets besulah shenis v'chulei ozil shokal eitza mimordechai. Achashverosh was getting frustrated. He adored Esther, but yet he didn't know her background. So he went to Mordechai and sought his counsel. What should I do in order to arouse her enough so that she will reveal her background? So Mordechai played along and he said, well, ein isha miskana ela b'yera chaverta. If you want to get on the good side of a woman or get her to cooperate with you, just take in another woman. And the expression we read is that a woman is not jealous other than the thigh of her friend. That means that if a woman sees that the man that she is wedded to or is together with, is he is now turning his eyes onto some other woman, so then she will start to really cooperate. And that's what the pasuk indicated, that he gathered the maidens a second time. And that's as a result of Mordechai's counsel. If you want to get her to talk, so start showing your interest in other women. And still, she didn't reveal the chtiv. The pasuk says, Ein eser Esther magedes moladeto v'chulei. She did not tell where she comes from. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new marking, a diamond, and under the Mivneh heading, we've explained these are Shnei Droshes Shel Rabbi Lezer, Ala Posuk Lo Yigra, and Eov Perek Lamed Vav Posuk Zayin. There's two Droshes of his that concern the Posuk in Eov, chapter 36, Posuk Zayin. In the course of the Gemara, you will see that will be relating to Pasuk Ches as well. So just note the location. First we have Rabbi Lezer here at the bottom of Omid Aleph, and when we get to Omid Beis, almost halfway down the page you'll notice another diamond. And that is the reason for this marking, and Rashi alludes to it, is because we're darshaning different parts of this pasuk. So, Amar Rebbe Lozer, my dichtiv, and we turn to Amud Beis, note that we have a very long point marking. Lo yigra mitzadik einov. Now on the side, we quote the pasuk Iov Lamidvov, pasuk Zayin, it says, Lo yigra mitzadik einov, the es melachim lekisei, vayoshivim lenetzach vayagbeu. So, what does this mean? Bischar tznius shehoisa bo berachel zochsa v'yotza mimena Shaul. Ubischar tznius shehoya bo b'shaul zocha v'yotzas mimenu Esther. In the merit of the tznius, tznius is a word that requires a great deal of, let's say, effort and thought before one translates it. Tznius has to do with something that's unrevealed, often translated as modesty. Modesty is a function on one level of one who does not expose himself. He is modest. He could be modest physically, he could be modest in his ways, and he could be modest in so far as what the matters that he deals with are not known to others. In the context of this Gemara, you'll appreciate the different meanings of modesty as we go through. So we have said so far that in the merit of the modesty that Rochel practiced, she merited having Shaul. And in the merit of Shaul's modesty, he merited having a descendant, Esther. Now as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a crown marking. And a slashed underlining. This is explained as schar tzniusam, the schar, the merit of the people of Rochel and Shaul. Here the Gemara wants to know what was this demonstration of tznius on their part. And of course, this is all in the context of Esther, who was described of, she's not Ein Esther Magedes Moladeto, she was quiet. And again, that's one of the aspects of tznius, of secretiveness or non-revealing. The Gemara continues, Umay tznius hoysa bo b'Rochel, what's this element of tznius that you find by Rochel? Dichtiv. And what we have here, there's a long section. You can see the number 1 on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is followed by a vertical dashed line that until you get to the number 2, we're dealing with Rachel. And we're dealing with the story of Rachel being wedded to Yankev Avinu. But before Yankev Avinu actually took Rachel, he ended up taking her elder sister first. And what was the cause of that is what is going to be now discussed in the Gemara. So the pasuk says, "Vayage Yankiv leRachel ki achi aviyahu." Yankiv told Rachel that he is her father. Now the father of Rachel was Lavan, that he is her father's brother. But that's not true. V'chi achi aviyahu, was Yankiv Lavan's brother? Valo ben achos aviyahu, he was the son of Rivka, who was the sister of Lavan. So we would say that he is Lavan's nephew, not his brother. So what's the pasuk saying when he describes Yankiv as being the brother of Lavan when he's Lavan's nephew? Elo Omar Law. And the squiggle underline is here to help you follow the give and take between Yankiv and Rachel. So he Omar Law. Yankiv tells Rachel, Minsevali, would you marry me? Omrole in, yes, I would agree to marry you. Mihu Abba Ramohu, father, my father, it's Lavan, is an underhanded, a tricky individual. Velo Yachlisle, and you will not be able, you won't be successful over him. Omar Law, I Ramoy, who, if he is underhanded. Achiv ani beramos. And here you see the expression, brother, I am his brother, I am his equal in trickery. Omro le, mishori le tzadik v'zgui beramuyusa. Is it permitted for the righteous to conduct themselves, the skuyas to walk or to conduct themselves in trickery? Omar law in. Yankiv says yes. The concept of underhandedness or trickery is not anathema to righteousness. Im novar titavar. With one who is pure, so you behave accordingly, purely. The im ikesh, however, with the crooked, titapol, you too can be that way with them. Omar lo umai ramyusa. Yankiv continues and he asks her, what's the trickery? What's the issue? Omrole, so Rachel now gives Yankiv the background. What the problem is as follows. Isli achto de kshisha minoi velo minsev li mikamo. I have a sister that's kshisha's older than I am, and I will not be given over in marriage before Leah, my older sister. The Gemara has it on the side of the Gemara. There's a note adding a couple of words. So just over to the left-hand side of the text, you can see we've underlined v'chimota yuma mayo lo legaboch, and Rachel continues telling him that on the day of our marriage, so he will send her in to you. And that's the trickery. Instead of me becoming your wife, he will send her in instead. So, ma also Yankiv. So what did Yankiv do? Now we go back to our Gemara text. Mosar lo simonim. He gave signs to Rachel. And that through this, Yankiv would know if the girl that he is going to be with there in the dark of night, whether it's really Rachel or not. V'chimoto leila, Omra, when the night came, Rachel figured, Hashta michsefet chtoi, my sister is going to be embarrassed. In other words, Yankiv is going to activate the sign, and Leah won't know how to respond. She won't know the code, so to speak, and she'll be revealed, and that will be, it'll be very embarrassing for her. Masartinu nihala. So Rachel gave over the code, the sign, to her older sister, to Leah. Rashi put ads here, and this is critical. On the second narrow line, Masarton, Lelea, Vahu, Tsnius, this is the element of Tsnius, that which is unrevealed. Shelo Yisparsem, Hadovor, Shemosar, Lo Simonim. It did not become known that Rachel gave to Leah the sign. Now, we go back to the Gemara. V'hainu dichtiv. It is through this we can now understand the pasuk that says, V'hi baboker v'hinehi Leah. And the morning came, and behold, it was Leah. So, mechlal da'ad hashtalav Leahi. Is that to suggest that until now it wasn't Leah? It was Leah the entire night. Yankiv was with Leah the entire night. So what does it mean that in the morning, and behold, it was Leah? It's through the signs, through the code that Rachel gave to Leah, lo have yoda ad hashti. Yankiv didn't know that it was really Leah until now, until the morning. Because of this tznius that Rachel exhibited, she merited having a descendant, Shaul, King Saul. Umay tznius oisa b'Shaul. And what was the tznius that characterized Shaul? Dichtiv. It says, when he was anointed king by Shmuel Hanavi, it says, v'estivar hamlucho lo higid loi asher omar Shmuel. That means that Shaul did not reveal that he had been appointed king. And as a result of that, Zocha v'yosos mimenu Esther, he merited having a descendant. Shaul had a descendant, Esther. And the Gemara continues with what you see between the lines, Esther my he. And with regard to Esther, what is the tznius? Dechtiv ein Esther magedes, what we saw before, that she does not reveal where she is, where she comes from. V'yomer Rav Elazar, k'sha Kodesh Baruch Hu posei gedula l'adam, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu grants or rules that a person deserves greatness, posek levono v'levnei vadov ad sof kol adoros. It's a type of gift that's given not only to the person, but to all his descendants for generations to come. Shinema, the posuk says, and again, note, this is posuk Zion. It's the same posuk that we mentioned at quite at the top of the page, and you can see that we have this Eov Perek Lamed Vav, posuk Zion, Vayoshivem Lonetzach Vayagbehu. As was the end of the pasuk that was quoted there, that once a person is granted greatness, it's Lonetzach, means permanently. He remains Vayagbehu, high. However, Vim Hegiz Daito, if, however, as a result of receiving greatness, a person becomes haughty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpilo, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will lower him. Shinemar, and this is Posuk Ches, a continuation of what we just quoted. Ve'im Asurim Bazikin Ilochtun B'chavle Oini. And as we said, that if they they become haughty, Asurim is taken into Isur, they practice that which is unfit, namely they become haughty, they are then cast down into poverty. Pasuk Chof. V'es ma'amar Mordechai Esther Oysa. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Shehoi Samara Dam Nidol L'Chachamim. The pasuk itself means, and she fulfilled the words of Mordechai. And this is taken to mean that she continued following the laws that pertain to women. And if there was any question about her status of being Tamea as a result of being a Nida, so she would take samples or blood stains that women at times experience, she would take them to Chachamim, to the sages, to the rabbis who had a tradition on how to determine whether the dam, whether the color that she had, the stain, was an indication of her being Tamea, and hence forbidden to her husband or not. Kasher hoisa ba'mono ito, that's posuk chof. Omar rabo barlimo shoisa oimedes michekel shel achashverosh v'toveles v'yoshevus b'chekel shel Mordechai. She was faithful to him, to Mordechai, meaning that, and we take this to mean that when she departed from Achashverosh, she went back to Mordechai, and the Gemara says Toveles v'yoshevus b'chekel, she immersed herself. Rashi takes this to mean that she immersed herself, meaning she cleansed herself from Achashverosh in honor of Mordechai. Bayomim Mohem Mordechai Yoshi b'shar haMelech Chatzaf Bigson v'Serish. And it was in those days that Mordechai was seated in the gate of the palace. Two guards or two servants, Bigson and Serish, became wrathful. Omer b'chia barabo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, hiktzif hakodesh baruch hu. We find there are two examples, two opposite examples, of the kodesh baruch hu causing one to become enraged on the other. Now, before we read the Gemara smoothly, just notice the numbers 1 and 2 in the Gemara. The number 1 is the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Maksiv Odoin al Avodov, and number 2 is Avodim al Adonehem. Two two of the same parties, but in the opposite direction. So the number one, Adon al Avodov, we find the master, in this case Paro, the king, getting upset, becoming enraged on his Avodov, two servants. Lasois Ritzoin Sadik, Umanu Yosef, the fact that Paro got angry at the Sara Oifim and the Sara Mashkim, the wine butler and the baker, led to the eventual release of Yosef from prison and his ascendancy to viceroy. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu set up the scheme long before by causing Paro to become upset with those two personalities, those two people, the Sar Hamashkim and the Sar Oifim. The Pasuk says, Shenemar Vishom Itanu Nar Ivri. That's a very brief quote, but it's a reference to the Sar Hamashkim, who eventually told the Yosef story with the dreams. He told that to Paro, which led to the meteoric rise of Yosef from jailbird to viceroy. Secondly, Avodim Adonaim, Lasus Neis Letzadik. Likewise, we find servants becoming enraged with their master in order for a miracle to be enjoyed by the righteous. Umanu, who is the righteous one? Mordechai. And that's the story of Bigson and Seresh that became upset with Ahasuerosh. We'll see more about that as we go on in the Gemara. But as a result of that, Mordechai revealed to Ahasuerosh their plot, the plot of Bigson and Seresh to kill him. And with Ahasuerosh becoming aware of Mordechai's help, so the miracle of Purim unfolded. Vayivoda hadover leMordechai. Now they had schemed to poison Ahasuerosh, and the matter became known to Mordechai. How was he the one to discover their plan? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bigson v'Seresh shnei tarsoyim havu. According to the pshat we're going to use in the Gemara, there's more. There were two Tarsaim. Tarsaim in this context is they're from a certain nation. The Tarsaim language was Tursi. The Oimrim, and they said in their foreign tongue, in their language of Tursi, they said, Miyom Shebosa Zu, from the time that Esther came on the scene, Lo Ra'inu Shino Be'enenu. We haven't had any a wink of sleep, even. In other words, we haven't had any sleep. The Rashi says, "Mitov shoyse chaviv olav hoyse marbe betashmish v'tzomei lishtos." These officials were apparently charged with providing drink to the king, and since he was involved with Esther in extensive intimacy, and that leads to a state of thirst, they had to provide him, the king, on an ongoing basis with drink. And we saw before that he engaged in this in the nighttime, so they never got any sleep. So one said to the other, Bo venatil eris besefel. Let's put some poison. Eris is poison in his cup, in the cup that Ahasuerosh will drink from. Kedeshiomus, in order for him to die, and we'll be rid of our source of pain. Vehein lohoyu yoidin, they did not know, ki Mordechai miyoshvei lishkas agozes hoya, that Mordechai was a member of the high court. The lishkas agozes is a reference to the Sanhedrin, the high court. The Hoya Yodea B'Shivim Loshen, and as being a member of the High Court, there was an expectation that there would be familiarity with all the different languages of the world. So Mordechai had command of their tongue as well. So they didn't know that he was listening to their conversation. Omar lo. So the other, we have Bigson and Seresh talking to one another. So the other says, "Valo ein mishmarti u'mishmarti choshove." Rashi's pshat on this is that the task that I'm appointed to is not the same as the task that you're appointed to. In other words, to keep things without sticking to the translation, but to just to get the point across, we're not going to be able to pull this off together. I recommend looking at the Marsha, who has a different approach by way of the details of this, but the point is that we're not together, and hence we won't be able to pull this off. Omar lo, so the other says, Ani eshmor mishmarti u mishmartecha. Listen, I'll take care of your post and my post as well. In other words, I'll cover it for you, and in the meantime, you will go off and put the poison in the king's drink, and everything will be taken care of. V'hainu dichtiv v'yevukash hadavar v'yimotzei. That is a posuk, based posuk of Gimel, and that means shelo nimtza b'mishmartam. As a result of the one saying, "I'll take care of, I'll cover for you as well," while the other was off doing putting the poison, it was revealed that he was not at his post. Achar hadvorim hoele. My achar. The Rashi explains, the pasuk here is introducing Haman into the story, and it says it was after these things that Haman was raised to prominence. After what? Omar Rava, achar sheboro hakadosh baruch hu refuah lamaka. After the Kodesh Baruch Hu set up the solution for the affliction, then he moved the affliction into position, because the refuah, the salvation, was already set into place. The Omer Reish Lakish Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Makis Yisraelim came Borilim refuah tchila. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring a punishment unto Israel unless he's created the potion beforehand. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Kirofi li Yisrael v'nigla avoin Ephraim. First there is refuah, and then the revelation of the sin that is through a makah, through punishment. But as we see in the pasuk, refuah is mentioned first. However, when it comes to nations of the world, it's not the same. Maka oisan, first he afflicts them, v'acharkach borei lohem refu, and then the salvation or the solution is created. Shenemar, v'nogaf Hashem es Mitzrayim, nogoif v'rofoi. First the nogof is the affliction, and only afterwards is the refu. Posuk vov, Vayivez be'enov lishloach yad b'mordechai levadoi. We already are dealing with Haman and his being upset with Mordechai. And the pasuk itself says that it wasn't fitting to him to attack Mordechai alone, just attack one man. We should note that the pasuk itself continues. We have on the side of the Mor the continuation after it says b'Mordechai levado. It says ki higidu lo es am Mordechai vayevakesh Haman lahashmid es kol haYehudim asher b'chol malchus achashverosh am Mordechai. So now, with that in mind, we continue. Omar Rava b'tchila b'Mordechai levado. Initially, he was irate with Mordechai. Ulebesof ba'am Mordechai, umonu rabbanan. It's interesting to note that the progress, the progression that the Gemara follows is not the same as it appears. Let's correct ourselves. The first thing we had was Mordechai levado, and then it says am Mordechai, umonu, and who is that? What does it mean, the nation of Mordechai? It's one of the Rabbonon. It's his colleagues. We said before that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a very distinguished leader, rabbinic figure, leadership figure. And his colleagues also fell in disfavor with Haman. Ula b'sof, b'chol ha'yehudim. As the pasuk goes on to say, kol ha'yehudim. Then he became incensed with all of the Jewish people. He pilpurhu agorol, and he cast a lot, which is known as gorol. Tana kivan shenafal pur b'chodesh Adar samach simchu gedola. Haman was drawing lots in order to determine the date of his final solution. So when the lot that he drew was that it shall be done in the month of Adar, Haman was very happy. Somachsim gedola Omar, and he said, Nofali pur b'yerech shemeis boi Moshe. The lot that has come out is the lot that is in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Moshe Rabbeinu died in the month of Adar. The lo hayodea, but little did he know, did Haman know, Shebeshiva ba'ador meis, ubeshiva ba'ador nolad. That true Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, but he was also born on the 7th of Adar, so that the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu is also of great significance. For us, it's of greater significance, so that he was happy about the wrong thing. Yeshno am echad, Omar Rava. Rava tells us, Leka, the Yoda Lishno Bisha Haman. There is no one that can rival Haman in his evil, scheming speech. And this begins in the Gemara a long point where you'll see Haman having an interchange with Achashverosh, where Haman is set on getting the Jews, but Achashverosh, he was no Jew lover himself, but nevertheless, he expressed hesitancy in pursuing Haman's final solution. So how did Haman convince Achashverosh to go along? Well, and that's what we will reveal in the next number of lines. Omar lay. Ta nichlinu. Oman says to Achashverosh, let's get rid of them. Omale, Mistafina Melukov, the low levid be, kidaova bekamoy. I'm afraid of their God, that he shouldn't do to me that which he did to my predecessors. We've mentioned in the past that prior to Achashverosh's ascent to rulership, shortly before Achashverosh, there had been the Babylonian Empire, the Babylonian regime. And their leader, Belshazzar, even though he had defeated the Persian adversaries of the time, nevertheless, Belshazzar, miraculously died. And Achashverosh knew the history, and he knew that was an act of divine intervention. It was actually the miracle of the handwriting on the wall. For those of you who are familiar with that from the book of Daniel, Sefer Daniel. So he was aware that God intervened to defend his people and punish those who would be enemies of the Jews. So I'm not taking any chances, says Achashverosh. Omar lei, so Haman says back, Yoshnu min ha-mitzvos. Of course the Almighty is out to protect the Jews, but that's in exchange, there's a deal here. It's in exchange for the Jews fulfilling the mitzvos. But they've gone to sleep. They don't do the mitzvos. That's the pasuk we're darshening, Yeshnu am echad. That's Yoshnu, they went to sleep from the mitzvos. Omar lei isbuhu rabbonon. But still, the Jewish people have great rabbis amongst them, and that will stand in their merit. Omar lei am echod hein. Haman says, no, they're all one people. It's not as if It's not as if you can split the rabbis off from the rest of the people. Shema toimar korcha ani oise b'machuscha. Haman continues with anticipating things that Achashverosh might say. He says, you might say that, well, if I wipe them out, so I'm going to make a bald spot in your empire. In other words, if you go to one country and you wipe out all the inhabitants of that country, you're leaving an empty spot in the kingdom. So if that's what you're going to say, I have an answer. I have an answer for that already. Mefuzarim beino amim. The Jewish people are scattered amongst the nations of the world, so that if you annihilate them, you activate the final solution, there isn't going to be one spot that's empty of an entire people. They're scattered. Shemo toimar yishano minayu. You might say, well, but I benefit from them. Mefurad. So that's a quote from the Pasuk. Pasuk Ches. Mefurad literally means they are separated, but it's darshan. Kepre dazu, like they are like a mule. She'ena oisa peros. That's a type of animal that's a hybrid animal that doesn't produce offspring. They don't produce anything. V'shemo toimar iko medinto minayhu. The Marshal comments that this isn't necessarily connected to that which was said before this is not a flow from that which was said before Shema Tema Korchani Oise. So we have to take this in isolation. You might say that there is a country that is full of them, and it wouldn't be right to wipe out a country from your empire. Talmud Lomar, so what the response to that is, B'chol Medina Ismalchuscha. There isn't one Medina of them. They're scattered amongst all your countries. Achashverosh, don't forget, was in control of 127 different countries. So they're all scattered. There's nothing to worry about. V'dalseim shonos mikolam. And they're practices, their laws are different from everyone else. Velo achli minon, they don't eat our food. Velo nas minon, they don't marry our children. Velo mitzvilon, and we don't marry into them. V'es dosei hamelech einom oisim. They don't follow the king's rules. The mafki luku l'shosu b'shabbos hayom pesach hayom. In other words, other nations work throughout the year, fulfilling your will. They, every Saturday, they take off. Today's Shabbos. Holiday comes for Pesach. So they say it's Pesach today. They always have excuses. While we are all working all the time. Ulamelech ein shove lahanichom. And that's Pasuk Ches. The ochlu v'shosu. It says it's not worth it to the king to keep them around. They eat and drink, umevaze le lemachus, and they insult the king. They insult you. With regard to a Jew who's drinking wine, imagine a fly can fall into one of their cups. They would remove the fly and continue drinking. And if you, my master, the king, merely touch their cup of wine, choftu b'karka, v'nishasehol, cast it onto the floor, throw the wine out, and won't drink it. Basically saying that you are less than a fly, or you're worse than a fly. Im al ha-melech tov, ikosev la'abdom, v'aseres alofim kikur kesef, v'chulei. So Haman finally suggests that if you approve, so we'll issue an edict to annihilate them, and a collection will be made of 10,000 kikar kesef that will be paid by the annihilators into your treasury. Omrei Shlokish, galui v'yodua lifnei mi sh'omar v'hoya oilam. It is revealed to the Almighty, the one who said that the world shall be, meaning the Almighty who created the world, she'osid, in the future, Haman lishkol, shkolam Yisrael, the future, in the future, Haman will come about and with the plan of collecting money from the executioners for the benefit of Achashverosh. Lefikach hiktim shikleim lishkolov. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu set up in the Torah a reference to shkolim, this type of coin, to serve as a preventer, an antidote, a vaccine, if you will, to prevent the catastrophe of Haman's shkolim. V'hainu disnan, and it's in this context, but let's read that line again. L'fikach hiktim shikleim, the shekel that we collect, what we call the machzis ha-shekel, the half shekel collection, the annual half shekel collection, came before his shkolim. V'hainu disnan, and it's in this context that the Mishnah says, Be'echad ba'der mashmim ala shkolim v'ala kilayim. The ala kilayim phrase is not of central significance for our sugya right now, but it's part of the Mishnah there in Shkolim, and it says that at the beginning of Adar, Beis Din announces every year that people should start paying their half shekel to the Beis Hamikdash. On the first of Adar, there's also an announcement that people should uproot any kilayim plants that are growing. It's also interesting to note that the timing of the gathering of the collection of the Machzis Shekel was also announced in the month of Adar, the month in which Purim fell. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer HaMelech LoHaman, HaKesef Nosu Noch VeOm LaAsoyz Bo Katoiv BeNecha. Achashverosh says, you know, you're making this offer of money to my treasury. Keep the money. You take the money and do with these people what you desire. There's an interesting little tesis here at the very bottom. Hakesef nosu noch gematria de hakesef. If you look at the numeral value of the word hakesef, oile ha'etz. It comes out to be the same as the word ha'etz. Remez lo shi tole olav. When Achashverosh says you keep the money, he's basically saying you're going to go. You can keep the tree, meaning you're going to go onto the tree that you had prepared for Mordechai. Of course, Achashverosh wasn't aware of that at the time. So in this pasuk, though, we see the mindset of Achashverosh as well. Omar Rebbe Abba. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Dalid. Moshol the Achashverosh v'Haman l'mar dovodeme, the analogy to describe Achashverosh and Haman is as follows. L'shnei b'nei Adam, le'echon hoyo lo tel b'soch sadeo, there are two people. One has a mound, an undesirable mound of earth in his field. Le'echon hoyo lo choritz b'soch sadeo, and the other one has an undesirable ditch in the middle of his field. Baal choritz Omar, the one who had the problem of the ditch in his field, he said, "V'itein li tel zeh b'damim." If only someone would enable me to buy that mound of earth for money, I'd be happy to pay money to get his mound and use the dirt to fill up the ditch. Baal ha'tel Omar, the owner of the mound of earth, the one who had the mound of earth in his field, said, "Mi tein li charitz bedamim." If only I would be able to buy that ditch in order to fill it up with this dirt. L'yomim nizdavgu zeh tzol zeh. One day, these two men met up with one another. Omar lo baal charitz lebaal hatel. The fellow with the ditch said to the fellow with the mound, "Would you be so kind as to sell me the dirt from that mound?" Omar Lo, the owner of the mound, said, "Tuloisam bechinam v'halavai. It should only be that you should take the dirt, take it for nothing." And that was Achashverosh saying to Haman, don't bother paying me. Get rid of the Jews and keep the money yourself. You see from here that Ahasuerus was of a like mind as Haman. However, as we saw in the Gemara before, he had a certain level of hesitancy out of fear of what could happen to him. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.